can use this fear tactic that they will be safe themselves. Now, we've seen in a number of other countries that that's not working, is it? But how many of us do this in our lives when we're dealing with people that are around us, where we often accommodate their ungodly actions because we do not want to stand up to being criticized by speaking out against them? In North America here, you and I have to deal with the spirit of fear as well. Because when we look at so many things that are happening today in society that is based on fear as well. But at least here we have a high regard for human rights. At least here we can speak forth the things that we believe. And we are not going to get thrown in jail for them, for the most part. But there are countries that's not the case at all. But where I'm going with this now is that when you and I are dealing with other people on an ongoing basis, we're going to be challenged when it comes to operating in Kingdom of God principles. There are some things in life where people will want to do something in order to bring in a worldly system, a way of doing things. Just recently, I bought something. And somebody asked me, and they were writing me out a bill of sale, and I was actually asked, well, do you want me to, I'll just write this was going to cost so many $1,000s, I'll just write this lesser amount so you won't have to pay such taxes on it. And I just said, oh, no, we are, we have to pay. We have to do the things right before God. And there was this couple was sitting at that table, and all of a sudden one of them looked at, oh, yeah, this is a church, isn't it? I guess it wouldn't be right. A church, it wouldn't be right. But what about you? What about you? You know, every one of us here, think about this now. You wouldn't want your church to make crooked deals, would you? You wouldn't want your church to try to rip the government off, would you? Well, what about you? What about in your business deals? Are you holding to the highest standard? Highest standard. I know that most of you are. I know to a great degree I'm preaching to the choir here, but you never get this many people talking to them. And there isn't somebody who's been slack in that area. And I'm sure all of us could come up to a higher level. But sometimes we will do things out of fear that there won't be enough to pay. We'll make choices out of fear that there won't be enough to pay the grocery bill or pay the rent bill and so forth. But more than that, what's happened in this world system now is that we have lived in it so long and rubbed shoulders with it for so long that often we think it's okay to operate according to the way the world operates. It's okay to do the same thing that all the people that we know that are in the world do. Well, if it's not a Kingdom of God principle, it's not okay for you. Not if you want the favor of God. Not if you want the favor of God. Now, you have to apply your faith to this, believing that there is going to be an advantage, that there is an advantage to get the favor of God upon your life. Good example. Well, how would you feel if I said, okay, from here on in, if you make this decision, you will not have to pay for the rest of 2012 any taxes. Well, let's say 60% of your taxes. You'll not have to pay them. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But what if I add it to that? Because nobody really likes to pay taxes. But if I add it to that, now, in this next 12 months, if you're sick, you're going to have to look after it yourself. You are not going to get any medical supplies at all. You're not going to get any medical attention at all because you've given up those taxes. You've given up paying those taxes. I don't think there's too many of us who would say, well, okay, I'll not pay the taxes. Why? It proves to us that we feel it's worth something. It proves that to us that we believe it's worth it. That the having this, knowing that if we were to suddenly break our leg or need our gizzard out or whatever, that we would have the medical system there that would be right there in order to help us. So we would be willing to say, no, I'll keep paying them. So we see value in that. Well, when it comes to the favor of God, do we see value in it? And we know that if we do things with integrity, we open the door to the favor of God. But if we cut corners in certain areas, we can shut the door to the favor of God. If we value it, we'll say, no, I'll sooner pay my taxes right now. Because I know that it can be a key to keeping the favor of God upon my life. Continue to go in that fashion. Listen, Job 3:25 says, "For the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. The thing that I have feared has come upon me." If you and I are in fear about something, it has a way of, that thing that we fear has a way of getting a hold of us eventually. It has a way of grabbing a hold of us so that we'll be in a, so that we'll be recipients of the very thing that we fear. Job, the Bible says that he would see his family go and they were partying and so forth, and that he thought, "I must go and offer a sacrifice in case they have been sinning." Now, obviously, he knew they were sinning, but he didn't deal with his family. He thought he'd go around it and ask and sacrifice things to God that would probably, in his mind, pay for their sin. And then eventually he lost everything, and he said these words, "What I have feared has come upon me." He did things out of fear. He sacrificed some things to God on behalf of his children as he was out of fear. Fear about what if he went to them and said, "You know you can't live like this. You know that you're doing wrong. You know that this is not right before God. You got to stop this now." Instead of doing that and taking the repercussions of that back on him, he decided to go over here and make some sacrifices and wishing and hoping that God would deal with it. But no, he said, "What I have feared has come upon me." He wouldn't face the issue head on. And as we know through scriptures, that he went through quite a time of losing everything and God dealing with him. Now, thank God, the Bible says to remember the end of the dealings of the Lord with Job, where he got back everything because of his integrity before God. He would not lose. In all that happened, he wouldn't blame God. In all that happened, he still held God as the creator of the universe. He didn't do like his friend said, curse God and die. You know, some people, when we get to the place where we've gone through a long pattern of trying to get ahead, a long pattern of trying to get ahead, suddenly say, "Well, I can't do it this way, so I'm going to do it my way." And start doing things that they should never do. But you and I are not called that. Not if we want God, the integrity, or not if we want the favor of God in 2012. Because it is a kingdom principle. And there is something coming in the year 2012 that is going to expose those who walk in the way of deceitfulness. I believe there's something coming in 2012 that is going to be absolutely crucial for the church to be walking in integrity. Now, people, I know that as we walk in integrity before God and man, that the favor of God is going to run us down. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that as we do that, we can expect good things to happen. We can expect God's favor to show up when we least expect it. When we open our door. Now, that means some of us are not going to have to make sure that we're not messing around that zone where we are. Well, it could be okay and it couldn't. You know, if you try to walk that line all the time, you'll slip into the wrong side. It could be okay. I'm going to do this, go so far this way as long as I get to the place where I can see the sin over there on that side. I'm going to stay here. I'm just going to walk this line. Then eventually we could slip into it. Whenever you see anything that even looks deceitful, turn around, go the other way. I wasn't going to share this story, but it's an example. It's not a true scenario or anything. But let's say somebody came to me and said they need $5,000, and they told me that they had a real good story, and so I gave them $5,000. Actually, somebody did come to me one time with a real good story. And I put, wasn't $5,000 into it, but it was, $1,500 or something, with a real good story. And don't shake your head, Debbie. I've seen it shaken off before. But let's say somebody came and they had a real good story, and they said they needed $5,000. And eventually, you know, I give it to them because I want it to be a nice guy. Because I wanted them to think well of me. I wanted them to be a good guy. And so I just, you know, decided to do this. And they said they'd give it back to me in 5 months. And so, okay, did that. 6 months' time, they come to me and say, well, this has gone a little bit slower than what I thought. But, you know, if I had $2,000 more, I can bring down a $10,000 deal, and I'll be able to pay you back real quick. So, okay, here I am now. I'm in a place of fear. Because not only am I concerned about what that person would have thought about me before, but now I may not get my $5,000 back. So out of fear, I take the other $2,000 and give them $2,000 more. So I've acted out of fear, now haven't I? Now let me ask you this question. If a person committed to repaying me $5,000 in 6 months, what possible good logic could I use to think that after 7 months, he's going to pay me $7,000 when he didn't own up to it in the 6 months? When he didn't keep his first commitment of $5,000, what could I could possibly make me think that he would keep his commitment with the $7,000? And that's not even good logic, is it? And yet I've seen people do that many, many times. I've seen people do that. What happens when that takes place? In fact, I see it, you know, in things like big contractors, when a big Holman building downtown is a good example, where people have put hundreds of thousands of dollars, tradespeople, hundreds of thousands of dollars into that building, where, you know, it's like, well, I spend $100,000 here, and, you know, they owe me $100,000, but, you know, they're not paying. Well, if I don't put more into it, I'm not going to get anything. You know, that's not good logic. Sooner or later, you got to come to the point where you got to call a spade and say, you never held up to your commitment. And I'm not going to pamper your lack of integrity in this. And I'm not going to operate in fear and put more into it, afraid that I won't get what I already put into it. You see, fear will do something with your mind and begin get you into a place of confusion where you will not be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. Fear will do that. Fear will make you think something's a good deal when it's not a good deal. And fear will cause you to run into doing things the world's way instead of the kingdom of God way. Fear will cause us to think outside the box all right, and cause us to do things outside the box of what's normal and expect results. But fear will always come back to bite you. When you do things in fear, it'll always come back to bite you. You have to lay it out. I found that when you do things with complete integrity, you don't have to fear anything. You don't have to fear somebody coming back to you later on and say, you know, you didn't do this right, or you ripped me off, or you had the wrong attitude, or all the rest of it. Now, what about when it comes to the way we treat one another? Are we honest toward one another? Are we careful not to be a stumbling block to one another? Are we more concerned about what's good for me and what makes me feel good than what it is for one another? Are we more concerned about that, or are we more concerned about seeing the other fella get his needs met as well? I've heard this statement before, that there is no good deal unless it's a good deal for both parties. Makes sense to me. We have the privilege of gaining the favor of God in 2012, and as we come to the communion table this morning, I want us to think about the covenant relationship that we're in. God says he's a God of favor. He has a hope and a future for us. He has good things in store for you and I. And as we embrace his covenant, we are actually declaring that we'll embrace his way of doing things. And his way is always right. His way will keep the demons back, folks. His way will keep you healthy. His way will let you sleep at night. And you know, a lot of people who go to bed anxious, boy, there's a lot of funny things happening in your body. It's opening the door for sickness and disease. But he provides a way for us to live in total freedom. No fear whatsoever. Father, this morning as we prepare ourselves to come before you in Holy Communion, we thank you for all that has been accomplished. Thank you for the covenant that we have with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for coming and dying on the cross for us, Lord. We worship you, Father, for sending him to us. We think of Jesus' words that said, "No one comes to me unless the Father draw him." God, thank you so much for drawing us. Thank you for transforming us, translating us into the kingdom of God, bringing us out of the kingdom of darkness. And as we come to the covenant table this morning, we thank you for the privilege to declare that because of our relationship with you, 2012 will be a year of favor.